I'd like to thank KTMS 990 and Montecito Bank and Trust for making Scam Squad possible. I'm Patty Teal.
And I'm Deputy District Attorney Vicki Johnson. Scam Squad is up next.
Sound off.
1, 2.
Sound off.
3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Scam Squad.
Welcome to Scam Squad. I'm Patty Teal here, as always, with Deputy District Attorney Vicki Johnson, who always tells us about the latest scams so we won't fall for them. How you doing, Vicki?
Hi, Patty. Well, I recently got a news article. You know, I get articles from all kinds of different sources about scams, and this one just caught my eye. It was from the Daily Mail, and here's what the headline said. I'm a reformed Nigerian romance scammer. These are the tricks I used to fleece 50 women out of 55,000 pounds. And the photo shows a very nice, young-looking Nigerian man named Christopher. Apparently, he spent 5 years as a romance scammer posing as, and I quote, an American army man with rippling biceps, short blonde hair, and a military uniform.
Wow. How's his career doing today? Is he still working as a scammer?
No, he is not. He's now 24 years old, and he's a consultant at a fraud-busting group, which is called Social Catfish. So as I tell his story, I really want our listeners to pay attention to the kinds of things he did and what kinds of things he said to see if any of these things resonate. In other words, have you or has somebody that you know ever met a person on social media and heard these words or had these experiences?
I'm curious what made this young man start scamming in the first place.
Well, and he talks about that. He was in his second year of university in Nigeria, so probably a smart guy, and he needed money. So his family was broke, and he had to do something to continue to finance his education. So as he put it, he chose to go scamming. And here's the quote. I know people might not understand, but I'm a professional, and it was my full-time job. It took months to get to that level, like training on the job. I scammed every day of my life at that time.
So where did he get the training to be a romance scammer?
Well, this is interesting. He said he used a 40-page Bible for scammers in Nigeria entitled, love this title, How to Make a White Woman Fall in Love with You from Online Chat. And this book apparently offers a step-by-step guide for romance scammers with scripts of romantic phrases, conversation starters, questions that it promises will make vulnerable women fall head over heels in love with you.
Wow. Well, we've long heard that a lot of romance scammers come from Nigeria, but it sounds like it's become a profession in that country. And does it suggest what types of women that these scammers target in the first place?
Yes, it does. It says that the types of women who are, quote, easier to get and who will fall in love with you ASAP without much stress are those over the age of 40.
I wonder, why are those women considered such good targets?
Well, they're working usually, and therefore they have money. And if they're single at 40, they are eager for love. Now, this is obviously a stereotype, but it seemed to have worked for this young scammer.
And so once the target is identified, what does the scammer do next?
Well, this is interesting. The playbook says that the scammer has to do their research before chatting up their target. So they suggest finding out as much as they possibly can about this person. Check their social media bio to find out what kinds of things they like, their hobbies, their pets, their job, their passion, if they have children, where they live, what they love to do, etc. And apparently, Christopher was quite organized behind this. He used to gather all of this information and list it next to his target's names.
Wow. We've often heard that scammers try to get as much information as they can about their target. It actually is like a job. Wow. Mm-hmm. Once they've built up a profile on the target, what's their next step?
Well, the book tells them that then you're ready to send a message. The book recommends complimenting the woman on their activities or what they enjoy and asking questions relating to those things. So you're supposed to send something that will make the target like you from the very first contact. Something, quote, gentle that will make her open her heart. For example, if her Facebook page shows a picture of dogs, ask her what kind they are and tell her that they are super cute.
Wow. Well, complimenting someone's pet is a sure way to make headway into their life.
Absolutely. And here's another piece of advice from the book. Once the conversation starts flowing, make it all about her, because women like talking about themselves. And they will think you care and fall in love with you if you ask questions. And the book has about 60 phrases the scammer can use to compliment a woman. For example, your mind is just as beautiful as you are.
Wow. Does the book suggest a good time of day to reach out to the woman?
It does indeed. The book says that women are more susceptible to messages at night. So the scammer is advised to get to know their time zones and text around 10 o'clock at night, because that apparently is when you will get your target's full attention and she will fall asleep thinking about you.
Wow, this book just thought of everything. What about asking for money? How do they weasel their way into that?
Yeah, well, that's interesting. The scammers are told to take their time in asking for money, to build up trust. So talk about random things for a while, and it will pay off in the end.
And how are they supposed to approach the subject of money?
Well, apparently, if the scammer plays his cards right, the victim will offer him money. So in other words, ask without looking like you're asking. The book suggests that if she asks you something about how is your day, how is your day going, you could say, well, it was bad. I'm broke. I'm behind in my mortgage. I'm afraid I'm going to get kicked out of my house, and that you've exhausted every other possibility of getting money. Or if you need a new phone or want a new phone, say to her, gee, my phone is dying and I'm not going to be able to contact you anymore.
You know, I think that's really a smart ploy, because the scammer can just weasel his way in and the woman can say to herself, but he never even asked me for money. It was my idea.
Exactly.
You know? Uh-huh. Yeah. And how often did Christopher talk to his targets?
Well, he says every single day, and sometimes he was able to get the money right away. Sometimes he'd wait for months. It just depended on the person.
And what reasons in particular did Christopher give to get the money?
Again, these were right out of the book. He had a range of false excuses to ask for money, saying things like he wanted to pay for a plane ticket to take a flight so he could meet this person and they could start a life together. Or just something small, like he needed money to replace his uniform. And he said he always started with small amounts and, of course, said that he would pay everything back. These were just loans.
Right. And did Christopher ever begin to feel badly for tricking lonely women?
He did at first, but then apparently the money kicked in and he did not let his emotions stop him anymore.
Did he use special platforms, or which ones did he target to find his victims?
This is interesting, because we've talked about this before. He used social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram to contact women, and also dating websites. But I thought it was interesting that Facebook and Instagram were the first two that he talked about, because we know that that is now seems to be the preferred way for these crooks to find their victims. And he targeted women in their 50s and 60s who appeared to be recently divorced or widowed. So he used pictures of a man he found out online who was in the army, and he told these women that he was an American and he had been deployed to Afghanistan or Israel or Korea.
Was he still going to school while he was doing this?
Apparently, he was a busy guy. He said he would talk to women around the clock from his lecture halls, if he had to, into the middle of the night.
And what did his peers and even his family think about what he was doing to make money?
Well, apparently, poverty is so prevalent in Nigeria. There are many, many people doing this there just to make a living. And so his friends and family members just accepted it.
What made him finally stop and get a legitimate job?
He had a one-year relationship with a 61-year-old American woman who ended up giving him $30,000. Now, at some point in time, she realized that she was being scammed, so she did a reverse image search, and she was able to actually track him down. So she confronted him and told him that he had ruined her life. He now felt terrible and is glad that he is no longer in the scamming business.
I wonder how unusual it is for a scammer like him to actually feel remorse like that. Did he offer tips so that other people could know they're dealing with a scammer?
Yeah, and I thought this was interesting. He said the biggest tell to know that you are dealing with a scammer is if they won't show their face via a video call. They won't show their face. Also, if they can't meet you because they are in the military or work overseas, or if they confess love too quickly and they demand the same in return, it is a scam.
Those are good tips and straight from the scammer's mouth.
That's right, Patty, and I'm just hoping that by sharing this story and exposing Christopher's playbook, our listeners will be on guard and they won't fall victim to this terrible scam. And remember, if in doubt, ask for a video call. If they won't do it, you are talking to a scammer.
Good point. Besides for that story, it really was good news story that he got out of being a scammer and is sharing these tips with us. Do we have any good news today, Vicki?
You know that I've been sort of obsessed with Medicare fraud scams. Somebody else got convicted. The thing that is surprising to me is the huge amounts that these people are actually able to get through Medicare scams. So apparently a jury convicted a California man for his role in a scheme to defraud Medicare by billing, get this, $2.8 million for hospice services that the patients did not need. So this was a doctor. He was the medical director of several hospice companies, and apparently he certified many Medicare patients as having terminal illnesses that the patients did not have so that the company could bill Medicare for hospice services. So they never received hospice services. They weren't in need of hospice. But because he certified them as having a terminal illness, he was able to bill Medicare for hospice services. So he has been convicted, thankfully. He won't be doing that anymore.
What a greedy guy. I mean, physicians already make a good amount of money. Why would he just want more? I guess there's a lot of psychopaths, sociopaths, whatever he was.
And one person, $2.8 million.
Wow. Yeah.
It's just stunning the amounts these fraudsters are getting from Medicare, from health insurance. So here's another piece of good news that caught my eye. This is from the Federal Trade Commission. Here's the headline. Federal Trade Commission sends refunds to consumers harmed by a tech support scam facilitated by payment processor NextWay. Apparently, the Federal Trade Commission is refunding more than $610,000 in refunds to consumers who lost money to a tech support scam that was facilitated by this payment processing company called NextWay. Apparently, they were allowing scammers to have access to U.S. credit card networks. So they are sending payments to 6,490 consumers. And I just wanted to let people know, first of all, if you were one of the people that was scammed out of money by a tech support scam and you happen to know that the payment processor was NextWay, if that's how you sent your money, you can go to FTC Refunds to Consumers and find out if you might be eligible for a refund. Now, normally the Federal Trade Commission will contact you if you are entitled to a refund, but it certainly can't hurt to look this up. FTC Refunds to Consumers, and you will find lots of information, including a list of companies that need to give refunds because they have scammed consumers out of money. So very interesting, and I'm glad to hear that money is coming back as a result of some of these scams.
That's great, Vicki. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. You know, I think we could just go through my phone some days and we could do a whole show on the texts and emails that I get. And it's so hard to practice what we preach. I do it, but it's so hard. I mean, there's one that I got today. I'm trying to pull it up, but it says, "Thank you so much for your order. Here's your receipt."
Oh my gosh.
I really want to see what I ordered, or, you know, did I forget something? But I'm pretty sure that it's totally unfamiliar. And if you press over to see the email address, it doesn't look like a business. So I am definitely not going to open it, but it's hard.
It's hard. I know. I know. They just know how to get us, don't they?
They do. They really do. Yes. And would you remind everyone of your fraud hotline so if they want to report a scam, talk over a scam, or just warn us about a scam?
Area code 805-568-2442. And I do get lots of calls and I welcome these calls. 805-568-2442.
Thank you so much, Vicki. Till next week.
Till next week.
Bye. Bye.